The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Waleed Shubat and is entitled, Why Arabs Hate America. For a free catalog of all of our Bible study DVDs, CDs, audio tapes, and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
Good evening. You're going to have to excuse my slow walk. I just had a hernia surgery. And actually, I wasn't supposed to make it to this conference. But yesterday, for some reason, I was healed. I don't know how. But I think you have an idea. I had to make it to this conference. In fact, I was so sick. I had an event at Teen Mania that I wasn't able to attend. About 30,000 kids. They had overscheduled. But we were able to make this event, believe it or not, which is, to me, wasn't supposed to happen. But we're going to have an hour. You told me I have an hour. It's already 10 after. Where is he? So where's my hour? Am I supposed to end at 8? 5 after 8. It's already 8:15. He does not understand Middle Eastern negotiations. Ten after. All right, deal. You know, funny, I get on the plane and I ran into all kinds of strange people. The other day I ran into a guy on the plane, you know, he was delayed and he sat next to me in the seat. He was a speaker, you know. He says, it was raining in Dallas and he couldn't make it and he ended up sitting next to me. And I said, well, what are you doing these days? What are you flying for? He says, well, I'm going to do a speech. I don't want to miss my speech. I'm doing a speech. A speech in what? I mean, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I'm really a spiritist, and I speak about spiritism and stuff like that, and how we can all become like gods and all kinds of things like that. And very interesting. I says, you know, why would you have to go and search all this Hinduism and all this? Why just like, the good stuff's local, man. I mean, you can get a Bible from the hotel and read it and all good stuff. Why would you have to, you know, import all these different things? He says, you know, Christianity is just as violent as other religions, you know. Christians are just as extreme as Muslims, this and this and that. And we had an interesting four-hour discussion in the way. And he asked me, you know, he says, well, what are you doing? I said, well, funny you ask. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm also in the spirit world kind of thing. And I'm going to do a lecture just like you. Why you cannot become God, why you're going to go to hell, and why I'm going to go to heaven. And why not all religions are not the same? Why Christians and Muslims are not the same? I said, sir, I have a question to ask you. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, he said, well, the Christians are one extreme, the Muslims are the same extreme, we're all the same. If we're all the same, and supposedly, you know, I know you hate these guys. You hate John Hagee. You hate Pat Robertson, all these religious extremist Christian fundamentalists, you know. Let's assume that you became president one day and threw them in prison, you know. You put them in cell block B, you know. And there is the Christians now in cell block B. They said, what's in cell block A? I said, well, funny you ask. Guantanamo, all Muslim fundamentalists and cell block A. All these terrorists are on cell block A. And assuming you also end up in prison for some reason or another. And you had a choice between cell block A and cell block B. Which one would you choose? He goes, well, that's a no-brainer. I'll choose cell block B with all them Christians. I says, but yes, so you told me they're the same. I said, now that you're going to end up for 25 years, you know, in prison, and you're either Muslim or you're Christian, they're going to give you either a Quran or a Bible. Which one of the two would you choose? Well, that's not a no-brainer either. I try to read the Quran. It's really boring. I read the Bible. It's very interesting. Of course, I'll choose the Bible. It is interesting how a lot of Americans live a state of confusion. But deep down inside, they know the truth. The truth is so obvious when you start, digging deeper into their mindset. You know, Americans always ask why the Muslims hate us. why they want to blow us up. I was a Muslim. I know why I hated you. I know exactly why I hated you. And it's really simple, more simple than you think. It's the same reason why Nazis hated Jews. There's not much that difference. It is a racist ideology. It's a demonic ideology. But how do I get out of this demonic ideology and realize that I'm on the wrong path or I'm in the path of Satan? How does one know the truth? The only way a person can know the truth is from the original source of the truth. Now, I believed as a Muslim all my life that the Bible was a corrupted document because all Muslims believe that Jesus never died on the cross, that Jesus was never God, that God never became flesh, that the New Testament was corrupted by the Christians and the Old Testament was corrupted by the Jews. You know, the whole reason for Islam, and most Americans don't understand it, the reason Islam came to being is for one reason alone. The reason Islam came is to supposedly correct the Judeo-Christian faith that was corrupted by the Jews and the Christians and put you in the right direction. What is that right direction? As-sirat al-mustaqim in Arabic, in Surah Al-Fatiha. The main prayer in the Quran, in Islam, as you have your main prayer, our Father who art in heaven, there is a prayer like that in the Quran, the beginning, on the opening chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha. Show us the straight path. Not the path of the lost ones, the Christians, and that is interpreted in all scholars of Islam, that the ones who don't have the right path are the Christians, or the ones who went astray, the Jews. The cursed ones will be the Jews, the ones who were cursed. It's very much in the Quran as well. So there was two sections of people there right from the beginning of the Quran. The ones who were cursed being the Jews and the ones who went astray being, corrupted basically the Bible, don't understand the truth, basically the Christians. So Islam as a religion came to correct the Judeo-Christian theological understanding of who God is. God is not a son. God has no father. God is never died on the cross. God never became flesh. All these things. Even if you say, well, you know, Jewish people don't believe Jesus is the son of God. Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is God. You must understand also that you must understand that Jews do believe that God is our father. So God being a father is part of the Jewish faith, or God being a Holy Spirit. Islam rejects the idea of God being a Holy Spirit. In fact, in 1 John 2:22, what does it say there? Who is the liar? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. That is a very crucial verse in the Bible. Why is it there? You got to ask yourself every time you read a verse in the Bible, why is it there? He is Antichrist. If you're interested in understanding the spirit of Antichrist, you must search for the word Antichrist in the Bible to understand how Antichrist thinks. He is Antichrist, against Christ. You know, he doesn't simply say that, listen, guys and gals, Christians and Jews, I am the Messiah. I am the one who died on the cross. Here is the marks on my hand. I bled for you to death. That is not what Antichrist is going to do. He is anti, against. In other words, he will deny the attributes of Christ. So why do we hate you? Why does the Arab world, why does Islam hate the Judeo-Christian faith? Simply because of that reason. Because it is a spirit of Antichrist. And you can't mix the two together. I was very fascinated in 1993 when I began to read your document, the Bible, in a challenge to convert my wife to Islam. And basically what I found out in the Bible, that I was on the side of who God hated. And there are many in the Bible that God hates. You know, don't tell me that God doesn't hate in the Bible. He hates sin. So there are certain things he hates. He said, I hated Esau. He does not even like the spirit of what he calls Hagar, you know, the difference between Sarah and Hagar. And when he talks about it in Galatians chapter 4, I mean, he says, here's the bottom line. The war is between the children of Sarah and the children of Hagar. The children of Sarah, that is Jerusalem, which is in bondage. And the children of Hagar, that is in Sinai, where? In Arabia. It's in the Bible. So Arabia is very much mentioned in the Bible. Why would the Arabs hate you? It's because you spiritually came from Sarah. You're the adopted seed. You adopted, God adopted you, grafted you in to the kingdom as to become part of the heritage of Israel. So these, you know, there are certain promises for you. You're grafted in. And we are part of this, you know, branches that hooked on this root of Israel. I, of course, as a Muslim, hated Israel. Reading the Bible, I began to see something very strange. That the ones that God hated were my friends. And the ones that God loved were the ones I hated. In other words, everything was in reverse. I began to understand from the Bible that Satan is an expert in a field called confusion. Satan is an expert in confusion. He creates confusion. From the beginning in the garden, he created confusion with Eve. From the beginning in the garden, when Eve got confused and there was a curse, sin entered into man. And then God said, I will put enmity between Satan, the one who causes this confusion, and between the woman. So, the devil will hate the woman. It doesn't say the devil hates the man. Of course, logically speaking, the devil does hate the man, but there's a special hatred by the devil towards the woman. Why? Because her seed is what brings the redemptive Messiah. Israel is another thing that I began to learn that Satan hated very much, because Israel is the seed that brings the seed of the Messiah, or brings the messianic fulfillment. So I began to understand what Jesus has been saying, be as wise as a serpent and be as innocent as doves. So the first part of this commandment is what? Be as wise as the devil and then be as innocent as doves. The problem with Americans is that they've tried to work very much on their dovey, you know, the innocence, but they haven't worked hard enough on the wisdom of the devil. So understand, the devil is a must in that commandment. And this is not my commandment. That is Jesus' commandment himself. You must understand the serpentine wisdom. And without the Bible, we will never understand the serpentine wisdom of why they hate us. A very interesting part in the Bible that I read as a Muslim, which began to change my mind, was in the Psalms. Most Americans think that the Psalms is really just a bunch of songs. If you have a month I can spend with you to go over the Psalms and show you these beautiful things in the Psalms, why they hate you. Look at Psalm chapter 80, verse 14. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Return. What does return mean? Come back. What does that mean? That means he has been here. Come back. Come again. Visit us again. That's the second coming. This is nothing small. And if you look at the context of the second coming, you'll be astonished to find out all these things I'm about to share. Listen carefully. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. And in Isaiah 64, it shares a parallel with this. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. Isaiah 64, verse 1, is speaking of the messianic coming. The mountains might shake at your presence. Mountains are kingdoms. The kingdoms of the world will shake and totter at the presence of God himself when he comes to judge these nations. Verse 3, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, You came down. The mountain shook at your presence. You got to start looking at that stuff. These are messianic. This is the coming of God himself on earth. And in every continent that you look about the second coming, him coming again, and nations are mentioned in the context of his second coming. Let me say this again. In every single context where he comes again, God, and nations are mentioned, each and every one of those nations are Muslim. All of them are Muslim. Do you think the Bible, God, all these years, did not warn you why they hated you? Do you think God did not try to tell you what will happen? You know, in Isaiah, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me." Foretelling the end from the beginning. When I met this God who foretells the end from the beginning, I was shocked. What is he foretelling? Tremendous amount of information. Let's take a look at what he says. Verse 19, "Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Look at this. Verse 15 of 81. "The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him." So the title of this invitation for me to speak is "Why We Hate You." He's talking about it right here. Here's who hates you. Here's why they hate you. "The haters of the Lord pretend submission to him." These are people who hate God. And in their mind, they think they love God. Muslims will tell you they love God. Okay? Muslims have the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because if you look at the spirit of Antichrist, what does he do in the Bible? What are the things Antichrist does in the Bible? Well, number one, he hates women. You know, who teaches the subjugation of women, or women being a second-class citizen? Woman's testimony is half of the testimony of a man in Islam. Woman has half a brain. The Prophet Muhammad of Islam said that. Not me. Woman has half a brain. You know, in the Bible it says he does not honor the desire of women. Who's that? Who's that? The Antichrist. He does not honor the desire of women. What does that mean? He doesn't honor the desire for women. He doesn't care about women's desires. He has no respect for women. Who's that, I wonder, these days? Look around. He wants to change times and laws. He intends to change times and laws. Who wants to change all the calendar systems throughout the Middle East to the Anno Domini, to the after the Hijrah, from the Anno Domini? That's a one-hour discussion. What Islam did when it first conquered was to change all the Anno Dominis, the year of our Lord, to the year of Muhammad. This is exactly what Muslims do. And change the laws. Who wants to change the laws everywhere in the world? What is the war about? What is the war of Islam about? What is Islam fighting about? They want to change the whole world to one world government under Sharia law. Americans are waiting for one world government. Well, Islam fits a one world government. Islam fits a one world religion. If you're waiting for a one world government, one world religion, don't look any further. Islam fits the bill. What is Islam? The definition of Islam. Most Americans ask me, what is Islam? Well, Islam basically is not a religion. Islam is a government cellophane with religion. It's a government system. Islamic fundamentalism is religious conditioning of the masses in order to convert them to become seekers of salvation by death. I'm going to give you the definition. Write it down, remember it, don't forget it. Everything you see in the media, everything you see happening in the Muslim world today will fit the definition. Islamic fundamentalism is religious conditioning of the masses in order to convert them to become seekers of salvation by death in order to establish a theocratic utopian government in which Islam is dominant and all non-Muslims are subservient. This system takes the whole life of both the recruiting agency and the recruiters as well. And if you look at all the aspects of what they talk about, they are always looking back to the glory days when Islam was triumphant over the whole ancient world. All their songs, all their movies, their footage, their poetry, religious education, sermons, everything reflects back to the glory days when Islam was triumphant prior to the West putting an end to the rise of Islam when they dismantled the Ottoman Empire or the Turkish Empire, the Islamic Empire, when Turkey ruled the world basically at that time under the Ottoman Empire. So it is basically a beast that was wounded and its wound wants to get healed. I don't know if your Christian antennas are going up. I don't know about you, but you know, there is somewhere in the Bible where it talks about a beast that was wounded and the wound was healed. Most Americans think that's the Antichrist. Well, that's an ugly-looking Antichrist. He has seven heads and one of his heads is wounded and his wound was healed. You know, if something comes with seven heads to you, that's definitely the Antichrist, right? But is that going to be logical that the Antichrist is going to come with seven heads and one of the heads is wounded? Well, what are these heads? What are these mountains? Again, the mountains are kingdoms. Seven kingdoms they were in the past. The Bible told us in Revelation the sequences of empires that will come upon the earth. One of those empires was wounded in Revelation chapter 17. And what it's talking about basically is the seventh empire or the seventh head that was wounded and the wound was healed. Because if you look at the text of Revelation 17, seven mountains they are also seven kings. Kings rule kingdoms, they don't rule mountains. Five have fallen, one is, and the other one has not yet come, the seventh one. If you continue when you go home to look at the text of Revelation, you will find out that the seventh one that was wounded, guess what? He is also the eighth. In other words, he comes back again. He will rise again from the dead. And that's exactly what happened with Islam today. Antichrist is not going to die and rise from the dead. If he does, then the devil is a giver of life. If the devil is a giver of life, then he's God. I don't believe that the devil can rise the Antichrist from the dead. The devil is not God. So, I have different views than your views as far as eschatological understanding of the Bible. I got an Eastern view of what the Bible is. Why do I have such an Eastern view? Well, because if I look at the whole text of the Bible, and I'm standing here asking you the question, if I look at all the text of the Bible, I will find every single context where nations are mentioned that God destroys are Muslim. In fact, I told you. I says all the verses where Christ is on earth fighting and nations are mentioned, they are all Muslim. Isaiah 19. Go home, read it. What does it say? God will come on a swift cloud. God himself will ride in a swift cloud, sort of like Aladdin, right? To come to fight Egypt. Excuse me? Why would God want to fight Egypt, a Muslim country, if he's supposed to be fighting a guy from Rome? Isaiah 63. All scholars agree that Edom is in the Muslim world. Who is he who comes from Edom with his garments sprinkled with blood? Well, excuse me. Who is he who comes with his garments splashed with blood? Christ. And why is he fighting Edom, Muslim country, the Arab world, Jordan, Edom? And by the way, Edom in the Bible is not simply Jordan. Look at Ezekiel chapter 25. I hope you're taking notes. Ezekiel 25, it says that Edom is from where? From Timna to Dedan. Dedan is all the way down to Arabia. So the Arab world is included part of the destruction of Edom. So Christ is going to come back to fight the Arabs. Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 31, in the Psalms, in Jeremiah. I don't have time. If I have a few hours, I'll go over them, where God himself fights all these countries. Habakkuk. Go home and read Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. He comes to fight Midian. Midian is the brother of Ishmael. You know, again, the Arab world, Muslim. And where's all the headache coming from anyway? To you guys, Muslim. If you look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 2. Let's start from Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. He talks about the image of gold and silver and bronze and a leg of iron and clay, the feet of iron and clay. And then the stone that was cut without hands smote the image at the feet. Right? You know that one? Or do we have to start Prophecy 101? He smote the image at the feet. And what happens? If you look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, it's very interesting. It says, and then the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the clay were all crushed together at the same time when the stone strikes the image. I have a question. We all know that gold is Babylon. How is Christ, when he comes again, going to destroy ancient Babylon? How is he going to destroy the silver? Ancient Medo-Persia. That's came and gone. How is he going to destroy the bronze, the Grecian Empire, which is the 1040 window? That's also came and gone. Aha! There is a dual fulfillment of these prophecies. Those nations will rise again, and they will come again. That image Daniel talked about is the image also of the Antichrist kingdom as well. So if the gold is included, what is that telling us? Iraq must be included, which is Babylon. Where is Babylon today? Iraq. Iraq must be included. What's going on in Iraq today? Mess. You want to know where Antichrist is going to rule? Follow the mess. So is Antichrist going to rule Babylon? Excuse me, Iraq. Excuse me. The Antichrist is called the King of Babylon. Why? Metaphoric? No. He rules that region of land. Okay? The silver is what? Persia, Iran. What's going on in Iran these days? Mess. Is it going to be part of that system? Yes. Do they hate you? Yes. The bronze 1040 window. The 1040 window, the Muslim world, mass, wherever you look. And you look at the woman riding the beast. The whole thing with seven heads, seven nations. All these nations are nations that came also from the past that will also rise again. It's the same thing as the statue. It's the same thing, it's the same kingdoms. It includes even the Egyptian. Egypt must be included. And if you go to Ezekiel 28, 29, 30, go home, read them. All the nations that are cast into hell, named one by one, every single one of them is Muslim. Egypt is there. As a matter of fact, Antichrist himself is called Pharaoh of Egypt. Why? Because he rules Egypt in Daniel. Egypt, Sudan, and Libya will follow him in submission. So, how are these countries which are Muslim going to follow Antichrist in submission? I began to see that I hated what God loved. I began to understand that I was on the path of destruction, of self-destruction, because I was on my way to basically go to hell. I began to understand many things that are in Islam that I studied as a teenager in school. Because in Islam, the Antichrist comes to lead the Jews and the Christians. The real Christ, the Mahdi will rule the Muslim world. And the way we recognize the Mahdi is that he will establish 7 years of peace upon the earth. Who establishes 7 years of peace? In fact, when I began to read the devil in the Bible, they were so close, almost identical to Allah in Islam. I'll give you an example. Islam offers 99 names of Allah. In the 99 names of Allah in Islam, some of these names are very interesting. One of the names of Allah in Islam is Al-Mutakabbir. What does Al-Mutakabbir mean? The most proud one. I see some antennas going up. Other antennas are still going, don't get it. And the kind of radar is not working, you know. The most proud one. Who is the most proud one? The devil. Al-Mumit, the one who causes death. One of the names of Allah in the Quran. Who's the one that caused death from the beginning? Satan. Ad-Dar, the one who, the afflictor, the one who causes affliction. Al-Makir, the great deceiver. I'm saying the names in Arabic so it will be on record. So you can take it to a guy who speaks Arabic to translate them to make sure that I am telling you what I'm telling you. It's in the Quran. He's also called Rabb al-Falaq, the Lord of the Dawn, Son of the Morning. The verse in the Quran that says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge from the Lord of the Dawn, from the evil that he hath created. Excuse me, did you get that? How do you seek refuge from your God who creates the evil? And you're seeking refuge from the evil that he's creating. In other words, it is okay for Allah to wreak havoc, destruction and evil. In fact, by the time I read the New Testament, I began to realize that what Christ wanted was totally different. Remember Islam? Seekers of salvation by death. Seekers of salvation by death. The only way a Muslim can reach salvation is by themselves dying for the cause of Allah. They become, in a way, a Messiah. I began to understand that Christ wanted us to offer our bodies as what? Living sacrifice. Not as dead sacrifice. So who was Al-Mumit, the one who causes death? The devil. Muhammad, there is no way in the world, could have written all these things by himself. Muhammad indeed was a prophet, but he was not a prophet of God. He was a prophet of doom. Because if you look at the Quran and the Hadith, and most Americans live in a myth, because they turn on the television and the President of the United States of America says Islam is a peaceful religion. Condoleezza Rice, Islam is a peaceful religion. Yet what was forgotten is all the ancient presidents of America, when they condemned Islam and called it what it is. John Quincy Adams. What did he say about Muhammad? Boy, you want to read the stuff, what John Quincy Adams said about the Prophet Muhammad, about Islam? John Quincy Adams is an Islamophobe. In today's world, he will never be elected as a president. But why is it in today's world that no leader of the world can say that Islam is a violent religion? You show me one leader in the world, one, that says Islam is a violent religion. Who? What's his name? Including Bush. By peace, he will deceive many. By peace, the Antichrist will deceive many, by saying that he's about peace, when in reality, he's about war. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh. What is that all about? And I saw the martyrs who were beheaded in the name of Jesus. Excuse me, I saw the martyrs that were what? Beheaded in the name of Jesus. Is that going to be fulfilled? The beheaded part? And then we continue in the song. Verse 8 of chapter 82. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Excuse me? Psalm 82, verse 8. When was the last time you read this? And what does it mean by, Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. This is an occasion where God himself will arise from his throne. How important is God rising from his throne? Huh? Little important. I don't know. Am I sitting with Christians? Big time importance. Big time. And look what he says, chapter 83. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. Those who hate you, those who hate God, have lifted up their head in pride. What was this prideful thing that they said? This is what they said. Verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Hello, let us destroy Israel from the face of the earth. Those are the ones who hate God. And he's naming them one by one. The Ishmaelites, the Hagarites, Assyria, people of Tyre, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Edom, the Arabs, Ishmaelites, the Arabs, the Hagarites, the Arabs. Those are the ones who hate God. Those are the ones that will cause God to arise from his throne, to come down and personally himself fight. So was God silent about Islam and Muslims and their hatred of God? No. So why do they hate you, Americans? Well, the same reason. Two reasons. One of them is that you are a spirit. You are spiritually have been born from Israel. You are part of Israel. And also you support Israel. You literally, as Americans, support Israel. You must be destroyed. Muhammad the Prophet himself said. He said, the day of judgment shall not come to pass until the tribes of Islam defeat the tribes of Israel in Jerusalem and the surrounding nations. And then the trees and the stones will cry out, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come, O Muslim. Come, O slave of Allah. Come and kill him. Till not one Jew is left. This is something that we used to meditate on and study in Islam, this peaceful religion. That the way we know that the end is coming is that when we destroy all the Jews in the surrounding nations. In other words, what the devil did was brilliant. He was crafty. He was the one that causes confusion. He took biblical prophecies and corrupted them and tweaked them to make them for Islam. In other words, when you go to the book of Zechariah and you read chapters 12 and 14, I will make Jerusalem a trembling cup to all surrounding nations. The houses will be rifled and the women ravished. It's talking about the invasion by the surrounding nations of Israel. Exactly what Muhammad said. The day of judgment shall not come to pass until the tribes of Islam. They asked him, where will this be? Where will this happen? He says, in Jerusalem and the surrounding nations. The good guys were the ones who will kill the Jews. And in Zechariah, the bad guys were the ones who will kill the Jews and rape the women. In other words, what the Muslims accuse the Christians of, that you corrupted the Bible, when in reality, they were the corruptors of the Bible. The corruptors are calling the innocent corruptors. Everything is in reverse. Instead of us believing in the death of Jesus dying for our sins, we ended up believing in our own death. And that by the drop of the first blood of a martyr, you will enter paradise. That's how you assure your salvation in Islam. What the devil did to the Muslim world, 1.3 billion Muslims, What he did was very, very smart. Brilliant. Give them salvation because everyone seeks salvation. The whole world wonders about the creation. There are very few atheists in the world. We all wonder. So there's a hunger for salvation. So what does he do? He plants hatred in the hearts of the Muslims. And then he says, all the faults of the world, all what happens to you is that as a result of America, because America is the greatest Zionist conspirator. America supports Israel. The international Zionist movement corrupts the world. Israel runs the Congress. Israel runs the media. Israel runs the world. Americans are pawns in the hands of the Jews. All this education comes from the pit of hell. And by stealing the biblical prophecies and by manipulating them to make the Antichrist to be the Mahdi or the Muslim Messiah, when Muslims see how prophecy unfolds, they say, well, we're right on track. Israel is back home. We're right on track. We're about to kill him. And when Nasrallah lobs missiles and kills Jews, and when Hamas lobs Qassam rockets and kills Jews, everything is on track. Why do they hate you? It's because Allah told them. It gives them the confidence to see that the word of their Allah is coming to pass. Just the same confidence as you Christians want when you see the words of God and the prophecies in the Bible also come to pass. But which document came first? The Bible. How do I know that the Bible is true and the Quran is a lie? Very simple. It's in the heart of every human being. The houses will be rifled and the women ravished. Every human being knows that ravishing women is wrong. Anybody thinks that ravishing women is right? It's the ugliest thing that can happen to a human being. In fact, if I ever witnessed them something like this, I can guarantee you I might commit murder and think nothing of it. There is no way in the world that God will allow us to take the Jewish woman as concubines and then ravish them. Asking the question in high school, Sheikh Naim Ayyad, graduate from Al-Azhar University of Egypt, the number one university par excellence in the Sunni Muslim world. Sheikh Naim, you said we can have children with concubines. I don't understand. Isn't it adultery? He said, no, it's not adultery. One student asked, he said, excuse me, is it consensual? He said, it doesn't have to be consensual. Excuse me, that's right. I went to my father, Islamic studies at home. Father, that's what the teacher's in school. He supported the teacher. When you live in a community, whether you go to the local mosque, if you go to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, if you walk out the streets and you see graffiti galore all throughout the streets, not one square meter that doesn't have graffiti that calls on the destruction and the killing of the Jews. So you Americans have seen it in the footage. When men come to Ramallah Square, the capital of Palestine that you Americans created after dividing Israel, exactly as Joel predicted, they divided my land. God will come down in Joel 3. He will come down because they divided the land of Israel. He will be ticked off. So how important is Israel? And you see men standing in Ramallah Square, thousands, grabbing a piece of heart and a kidney and lungs and praising Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar in a euphoric, frenzy fashion. Almost like hysterical. Thousands of men carrying blood parts and hearts and kidneys and lungs. It is one thing when you Americans turn the television on and see that somebody went on a shooting spree at a university and killed students. I don't know any American who condones it. Most Americans I talk to condemn it. The difference between us and you is that us, when we're Muslims living in the Middle East, rarely you'll find anyone who condemns these things that happens in Ramallah. No one condemns the burning of Joseph's tomb. No one condemns the desecration of the Church of Christ in Bethlehem. When Muslims even come to pray and they even hijacked the place, burned it. And they did burn Joseph's tomb. They burned all holy places where Jews worship. Go home and read Psalm 74. Psalm 74 talks about the synagogues in the land of Israel being set on fires. They take hammers and chisels and they pry the stones. Exactly what you've seen happen to Joseph's tomb. It's all written in the Bible. Uh-oh. Americans. The other problem with Americans is they give you an hour. An hour. You go through dessert within an hour. Where's the lunch? I don't understand. And then Americans begin to think that the reason that they hate you is because of your policies in the Middle East. It's because you occupied Iraq. Well, excuse me. Saddam occupied Kuwait. They didn't hate Saddam. They loved Saddam. Nothing to do with the occupation of Iraq. The occupation of Palestine. Well, excuse me. Nobody cared about Palestine. In fact, I don't know any Palestinian who really cares about carrying a Palestinian passport. When Jerusalem Arabs were asked to make a choice between an Arab passport and an Israeli Jewish passport, 100% chose the Israeli passport, a Jewish passport. Why? Can you tell me why? I'm not saying 99.9%. 100% nobody wanted an Arab passport. They knew they had it made under the State of Israel, the one that was supposedly tormenting them all these years. Well, they blow themselves up because of their frustration. They have a desire for a homeland. Well, excuse me, when was the last time you've heard of a Palestinian Christian blow himself up in a Jewish bus? Well, Waleed, Palestinian Christians are not accustomed to terrorism. Palestinian Christians are not accustomed to terrorism. Rubbish! The PFLP, Popular Front to Liberate Palestine, is the third strongest terror organization in the Palestinian areas, run by George Habash, a Palestinian Christian, and blows Jews to smithereens. And you got people like Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer man, that says what? We must support the Palestinian Christians. He doesn't like Israel. And he uses it biblically. He's a Bible Answer man. Well, guess what? Antichrist doesn't like Israel. The Antichrist hates Israel. It doesn't matter. Let's give Jerusalem to both Arabs and Jews. Let's make peace. Antichrist wants to divide Jerusalem. Joel chapter 3, for I will gather all nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will enter into judgment with them. I, God himself, will enter into judgment with them there on the account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They divided up the land of Israel. Antichrist wants to divide the land of Israel. So if you pro Jerusalem for the Arabs, if you pro the Palestinian Christian movement, which is totally non-Christian, if you pro dividing Judea into two states, then what side are you on? Are you on the side of Christ when he comes to judge the world? Or are you on the side of Antichrist? Do you think it doesn't matter for you to be on the side of Antichrist temporarily and then apologize in the end, say, I made a mistake? Do you think God will not judge you? Do you think if you love Christ, you will not obey his commandments. He said, I send you as sheep amongst wolves. If he sends you as sheep amongst wolves, and if you don't have wolves in your lives, maybe you were never sheep. Think about this for a minute. You got to ask yourselves, my American friends, if you're sheep, that's why they hate you. If you're sheep, that's why the wolf wants to kill you, because you're sheep. The wolf is not interested in killing none other but sheep. He's not interested in killing the other guys. He wants to kill the sheep first. So if you're sheep, you must ask yourself, where is enemy wolf? And don't tell me it's your mother-in-law. Don't tell me it's your credit problems. It is not. I usually give a 4-hour seminar on the subject of Islam in the Bible and why they hate you and all this good stuff. But Americans give you an hour, so I must close. I haven't went through Daniel 11, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 20, Revelation 13, Revelation 8, Revelation 18. The harlot, the woman riding in the beast, the book of Isaiah, the book of Acts, the star that fell from heaven, all these hundreds of pieces of evidence that shows you what the Bible says about the rise of Islam. It is crucial, but if you're interested, I got a book written titled Why I Left Jihad. Why I Left Jihad. I'll set it on the book table. I'll be glad to sign it for you. I apologize, I'm a little tired, I've just been through a surgery, and I'm not up to par on speaking today. I was supposed to be lying down in bed, so I'm a bit under the weather and under medication as well. So this is why I'm a bit acting crazy today. So we'll hope to see you next time. God bless you, and thank you very much.
This has been Why Arabs Hate America, presented by Waleed Shubat. To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible study DVDs, CDs, audio tapes and books, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day, or on the web at compass.org.